From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. On the SAT, high school students face a new challenge this year, an essay, which raises two questions. Can they write? And can they write? I'm referring to the same confusion that Carl Reiner met with when he asked Mel Brooks's 2,000-year-old man about his acquaintance William Shakespeare. A great writer, no? Not according to the 2,000-year-old man.
Well, how can you say that? Writer.
Well, he wrote 37 of the greatest works.
Did you ever see the original? Every letter was cockeyed and crazy. Don't tell me he was a good writer. He had the worst penmanship I ever saw in my life.
Sure, writing requires thought, analysis, creativity, organization, and mastery of grammar and vocabulary. But at least until all tests can be written on a computer, it also requires some skills that we teach our children years before they're capable of fashioning a reasoned grammatical paragraph. The skills of cursive handwriting.
The little dog is going to run around, bounce up, fall down, and roll.
Nan J. Barchowski teaches handwriting, a method called cursive italic, and uses a variety of exercises to imprint young minds with memorable routines. The path of the little dog traces the lowercase italic D.
I want to hear good, loud voices. All right? And down, bounce up, and down, bounce up, and down, bounce up.
We're in a classroom at the Harford Day School in Bel Air, Maryland. A handful of children who entered the first and second grade this year came here at our request over the summer. We wanted to learn how Nan Barchowski gets little fingers to leap from block letters to the swirls of cursive.
The gopher goes around, comes up, goes down, curls up in his hole.
That's a lowercase G in italic cursive, a system in which the letters do slant and are mostly joined together, but it doesn't have the elaborate loops and filigree of an earlier age.
One of the advantages of italic is that you can really teach children everything they need to know about handwriting by the end of first grade. And after that, of course, maintenance is needed because children physically grow. But I think it is the most time-efficient method of writing.
Just one system of writing, not printing first and then cursive. And the kids who came to class agree with the writing teacher. They are Rachel, Elena, Jonathan, AJ, Will, Sydney, Nicholas, and Philip.
Cursive is easy now since we had a lot of practice with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really fun connecting letters, but we haven't learned capital cursive.
You can't make handmade stories if there's no such thing as handwriting.
If there wasn't handwriting, then you wouldn't be able to write.
If there wasn't such thing as handwriting, there wouldn't be such thing as books.
If there wasn't handwriting, then people couldn't send notes.
If you write correctly, everybody can understand your stories.
Barchowski says teaching cursive will become more critical now that the SAT has added a 25-minute longhand essay, a longer piece of cursive writing than many high school students ever submit.
I think this is going to be very, very sad for kids who are using the keyboard all the time, are very bright kids, have a lot to offer, should go to college, and get a low score on their SAT simply because of their handwriting.
Nan Barchowski says a great virtue of the italic system is that kids learn to write just once instead of in two stages, manuscript printing and then cursive. That two-step process, she says, leaves many adults confused, mixing up the two alphabets they learn as children. Well, this turns out to be an especially American problem. Latin American and European kids are often just taught cursive. And a century ago, that was true of children here, too. Dr. Marvin Simner, a psychologist who studies graphology, told us about the great debate in the 1920s over how to teach children to write. Two camps. One said, keep teaching cursive. It's faster. Print is childish. The other said, switch to print. Those are the letters kids will see in books. The result? A compromise. Teach print first and then cursive.
That's essentially what happened. And so today in most of North America, what you'll see is print script being introduced in kindergarten and then the cursive script being introduced at a later point.
When you look at people's handwriting and the handwriting of children in elementary school, these concepts of what is babyish and what is adult-like, they come to mind very, very quickly. On the other hand, those are pretty squishy concepts as social science, you know, which is the more babyish and which is the more adult-like.
Exactly so, and that's why I said it was a rather silly argument even at the time. But nevertheless, you're talking about going back to the 1920s, and people who were strong advocates of one form versus another form did make these points. Certainly those were not points that would be made today if this argument came up today.
So for a lot of elementary school kids and their teachers, a special challenge of this year is minding P's and Q's that loop and lean. Dinah Wright teaches first grade in Dublin, Ohio, and Carol Schmidt teaches third grade in Riverside, California. We met them at a teachers' convention in Washington. Both teach cursive writing using the Danilian method. Dinah Wright says teaching handwriting remains an important skill in her classroom.
When someone does not know you, and someone has never seen you, and all they see is your handwriting, they form an image of you.
The idea that I try to impart to my students that you're communicating in absentia. And you want clear communication. You want that person that you are writing this note or this letter or this paper to fully understand what you're trying to say. And that, to me, is more of the quintessential element than anything else.
And Carol Schmidt says her third graders are enthusiastic about it because it's one of those defining differences between being a kid and being a grown-up.
There's that allure, that like spy-like quality of being able to read what the teacher wrote on that note that she's asking you to take next door. There's some real power there. You can read your sister's note that she's sending to her friend. It's an empowerment issue. It's very comforting that in first or second grade you can send them with a note that's handwritten and it doesn't matter what it says. But you know when they take that extra minute coming back, they've been outside reading it.
Learning to write cursive is both a cognitive and a manual skill. So Carol Schmidt and Dinah Wright will be leading a lot of drills, seeing a lot of misformed backwards letters this year. One scholar of the field told us that the aim of it all is to get kids writing automatically so that their hands keep pace with their thoughts. That's a tough challenge, and it's one that first grade teacher Dinah Wright faces every year.
I introduced handwriting with, here's the good news and the bad news. The good news is we're all going to be great handwriters. The bad news is, you know, let's get started.
By the way, in addition to the very popular Danilian method, which Dinah Wright teaches, schools also use the Zehner-Bloser method, and we're told some teach the venerable Palmer method of handwriting. No doubt all of them and many improvised hybrids will turn up in answers to this year's longhand SAT essay questions. There are photos of young children learning the art of cursive writing at Hartford at our website, npr.org.